All right, here we go. Hour number two, me and you, the Glass in the Afternoon radio program, Bloomington's Voice, 98.7, 1370, and wherever you're listening at WGCLradio.com. And we heard Joe Smith's report last hour talking about women's soccer getting started tonight. Erwin Van Bennekom's team in the NCAA tournament for the first time in a decade last year. They start against Tennessee tonight, and Todd Yeagley's Indiana Hoosiers will begin 1 week from tomorrow in St. Louis. And joining us on the program this afternoon is the head coach of the IU Hoosiers and my great friend, Todd Yeagley. Good afternoon, buddy. How are you?
I'm good, Glass. Thanks for having me.
Thanks for making time, as always, my friend. I know once you guys get started, it is, it's all downhill. The NCAA still, for reasons unknown to man and country and anything else, they don't give you any extra time. They just say, here, jump in, and then you're playing in 17 days after that. I know you understand the system and how it works. It still can't be comfortable, can it?
It's tough. You know, we're 7 days in training. So, yeah, that's all that time prior is they're trained on their own with, obviously, the strength coach can be part of that, but we can't train them. So the summer access is only for a few sports. We're not one of them. So they're playing with some teams over the summer. They're in some good soccer environments, but when it comes to putting our team together, we started on August 8th. So we're just getting started, but yet we don't have a lot of time. But everyone's got the same scenario. So we just got to make sure we're layering on things and being patient yet urgent. How that doesn't make sense, Class, but it's the truth. We got to get both done quick. Urgency, but also patience and not making sure that it's not going to happen overnight.
And everything you're installing, that's why leadership and returners are so important, because they can help you out with that, because you have such a finite time. Just give our listeners an insight. On day one of practice, you're not shaking hands and meeting everybody. It's put out the cones and go. Let's go. You don't have any time to do all that.
We don't. We have 14 new players that were not here August 8th last year. That's a 35 man roster. It's a lot. So yeah, the first day, I mean, we have to start getting our terminology down. It's the way we speak, how we train. Not only that, trying to layer in, okay, where are the positional battles? We have to evaluate them in small and big space. It's a lot. So we're just trying to, you know, they're probably a little underwater right now, but we also will start to scale back as we get into this weekend. And then obviously we have we have another 6 days after we play Louisville to get ready for the season opener.
That's in St. Louis, 1 week from Friday against the Billikens. Good news is school doesn't start till the 26th, so there's no distraction from that angle at the moment. So it is all soccer. It is all the time. And the first kick around was in Grand Park on Tuesday night. Bowling Green was the opponent. When you go into these games in the preseason, are you looking for 30 minutes with this group, 30 minutes with that group? You don't have to give away all your industry secrets, obviously, but how do you put that together knowing that you have two exhibition games before they count on August 23rd?
We try to get some different mixture of groups, because if we make too many changes, it's hard to know where the breakdown or where the positive or negative might have come from. So if we can get, you know, two or three nuanced changes, see how that looks with some stable returning players around, then that's our objective. But we played, I believe, all but two of our players. We had a couple guys out with injuries, so we went deep. We went over 20 players, which a normal game for us is, you know, anywhere between 13 and 15. So we were evaluating, and we didn't taper. So, you know, the result, although we always are trying to win, we had objectives that we were not going to change from. So we were down early on a restart, and we had certain minutes for certain guys. I took out some of the returning heavy minute guys, and if it was the game we needed to win, they're not coming out. But we don't need to win that exhibition. We gotta win in 2 weeks or less than that. So we stay true. It's hard sometimes, Glass, as told just before. But to really evaluate, you got to put him out in most situations. And I wish we had more time and more opportunities, but we don't. And that's what we got to do. So we got to evaluate in our own trainings, look at a lot of video, and go what we think is not only the short-term solution to get us a win, but also what could be the best in October, November. That's the balance. You just don't you sometimes you have to throw some young new people in early because you think that's going to be the best look in October, November, December.
Yeah, throw them in. See if they can swim. See how deep that water is. Now, you talked about conceding there. I know that just makes you ecstatic this early in the season, but we'll work on set pieces. That's part of the drill every day in practice. Is it different when you are behind? Because you can have a practice and say, okay, guys, pretend we're down a goal and we got to do this. But in a game situation, is that something you can replicate in practice, or does it help to have a preseason game like that where you got to chase it a little bit?
It does. That particular game, because we made so many changes, we couldn't really react to the deficit.
Gotcha.
So, every group had their own kind of objective. Even at the last period, we weren't playing the game to go get the tying goal. Like, I didn't pull guys off the back line. I didn't add numbers forward. We didn't tactically try to go win. We tried to win that segment with evaluation, not the scoreline.
Gotcha.
So it's a way different approach that as a coach is it's like part painful, but just otherwise we're not really seeing them play with the way we would normally play. But yeah, you can't create up and down goals in training. The next game against Louisville, that one will be treated a little bit closer to the fall, and we might put guys and respond tactically. Okay, we need a goal. What could we do different? Let's maybe try it this game.
And having that film from that first session against Bowling Green to break down and use as a teaching tool, fantastic. Get you ready for Louisville. Get you ready for the rest of the season. Indiana's the number 7th ranked team in the country in the preseason poll when we talked last time. You're quarterfinalists last year. That's kind of what you thought would be the case. And when we spoke last year, you talked about a goalkeeper that was coming in and a goalkeeper competition you thought you would have to push your shot stoppers throughout the fall. But sadly, one was injured, the young man from Virginia that came in. How has that changed things in on your back line?
Yeah, that was quite – it's what we deal with, class and sports, and everyone has it. And that one was one that we really wanted to have another option to help push JT and give us maybe a different element. And I feel like that competition is so helpful. And JT, he's done a great job of, one, staying on track, even now with Holden not available. But Holden, yes, he hurt his knee, so he's out. And we were able to pull in a unique situation because then we needed 4 goalies for training and also just to push our group. So we the starting goalie for Evansville last year, Aiden Montour, he is in a PhD organic chemistry program at IU. And so we quickly got on the horn, and luckily he's a fit, motivated kid. He's been actually staying pretty fit this summer. And we call him and said, hey, do you think you can pull this off for the fall? And so he's literally going to be a PhD student and on our team this fall. So we have 4 keepers. He's experienced. He's played in big games. He was the keeper against this last fall, class, and he did a nice job. So he's a capable starter. Our other 2, Cooper and Carr, are really trending positively. So I do feel with JT's experience and ability that we're in a good place, but certainly Holden would have put a unique spin on all that. But again, we have him next year, luckily. So Holden will be here next year, and he'll get his opportunity.
Will this be the first doctor on the field for Indiana men's soccer?
This could be.
That is fantastic. You talk about student athlete balancing the books and balancing the athletics. So that is a fantastic story. JT Harms has had enough time between the pipes to he's seen it all in college soccer, so there's nothing's going to sneak up on him, and that's comforting in the end as well. But you did lose some players from your back line defensively that have moved on. Your Swiss Army knife, Brett Beebe, who seemed like he'd been here for 7 to 10 years, Ugo Bacharach and Joey Mayer, Maloon, some of those big names with a lot of starts. Well, you just can't plug and play. You've had some time to look now. Do you have an idea of who's going to be in those very crucial and critical positions right in front of your goalkeeper?
Yeah, the center back is a key one. And we knew Joey would be moving on. So we loaded up our back line with his class. And we brought in Jack Lindemore from Columbus, who's, we felt, one of the top center backs in the country. Josh Mayer, obviously the mayor's youngest brother. And Drew Gadosh, another center back from Ohio. And we feel between the three of those and Brecken Menzie, who's had a really nice trajectory, we feel that we can be good in that position next to a really experienced Jansen Miller. So I don't know who's going to be there yet, class. I'm not keeping any company secrets from you. We have to still evaluate. But I like that they're all a little different. And it might be the chemistry or the timing of the opponent might push one into the starting role, and maybe we see where it goes from there. The Brett Beebe, we brought in Quentin Elliott mid-year. He's the one transfer that came in early. He's been really good, and he's a really dynamic, good defender, up and down the field. So I think as much as we'll miss Brett Beebe, I think Quentin Elliott is as capable of filling in that role as you could ask for, and maybe even be a little bit more offensive-driven at times. And then in the midfield, we brought in some good talent with a transfer, Luke Jeffis. We brought Charlie Hoyer from Chicago. And we already had Jack Wagner and Patty McDonald, who we know those two played all the way, got us to a national final. So we know those two can get it done. But we just wanted to have an offsetting quality with, like, Jack Wagner, for instance. And I think we have that with our new players. And then up the field, we have great competition. Some of these freshmen, whether it's Michael Messi, Ethan Bogard's coming along. He just came off an injury. Nolan Kinsella, another freshman who's showing some really good things. It's been fun to watch. And then the biggest piece was Justin Weiss. He has been fantastic, and we knew it. We'd seen him play for 3 years at Northwestern. He's the glue piece to what we needed. And that, I feel really good. So scoring goals, although difficult last year, I'm really bullish that our goal scoring will be not a struggle as it might have been at times last year with some of these new pieces.
Well, I always ask you every year, where are the goals going to come from? It doesn't appear that you have a target forward in the Carson Henderlong mold. It seems that you're more shifty and pacey. Would that be an accurate way to look at that?
Yeah, that's going to look a little different at times. We don't have quite the player to play into to create action. It's going to be more, although they're, Justin and others can do that. It's not, they're not Maloon and Carson ability. So we have to strategically kind of change a bit, and I think we can challenge him behind the back line even more. We might offer and drop down a little bit deeper to create off the dribble, where, Maloon might have done that at times, but Carson, we kind of stayed up amongst the center backs and used him always as an option to play off of and get in the box. So I'm bullish with what it will look like. It's just going to look a little different for our fans and kind of how we create our moments to goal. And you got to remember, you repeat that first 10 games last year, Tommy Mihalik could have had 5 goals and wouldn't have been shocked, and he had 0. And I've never seen posts and goalies and craziness and for one kid in particular. And that wore on him. And obviously we know Tommy's capable of scoring goals. And I think Sammy Sarver is a breakout season. It's not like that couldn't happen again. And then you add Michael Messi, who's a proficient goal scorer. You add Easton Bogard, some of our other, I would call them kind of like rotational options with what we have. I think we're in a good place. I think, Grant, my son, has actually done a really nice job. He's coming back. He's providing a different option up top. Luca Bezzera is coming off an injury, so we have to kind of wait to see where he fits in. Lucas Wolters is coming along. There's just I think we got some good options. We got to get the rotation down, and we got to figure out, you know, where those goals ultimately will arrive from. But I think the finishing quality, we have a bit more of that this year.
Did I read somewhere that Sarver had a humongous summer?
He had a great summer. Yeah, he was. You know, we have all these leagues around the country that, you know, our guys go play in these amateur leagues, and, you know, he was player of the year in that league, and he's in a great place. I mean, and we're so happy that he's here. Obviously, these kids can take off early at times, and he wants to win like no one else, and we're pushing him, you know, hard to be the best version of Sammy this year, and he was so instrumental. He's been instrumental the day he arrived. Class, that kid has been fantastic in our jersey, and you know, it's hard to think. I'm going to miss that kid a lot. Although at times at training, he probably may not think that. I'm tough on him.
Well, you have to be. It's your job.
Yeah, I love that kid, and he just plays with so much enthusiasm and passion, and he's really grown tactically. His finishing, you know, has really grown. You know, before, just let's see if we can just hit it hard on net.
Right.
Now he's picking corners. He's using different clubs. He's calming himself down. His elevation of his left foot, you'd be the Maryland goal last year. I mean, that was beautiful. And those weren't happening his first 2 years. So what he still has to show, I think there's still more there. You know, can his heading get improved? Can he be a better combiner? I think he has a few more assists in him this year with potentially some of the guys that are in the box finishing those actions. So I can't wait to see Sammy do his thing.
Now, we talk about pace, and we know that Sarver can run all day, every day, and he'll keep running after that when you tell him to stop running. Do you have guys that can create their own moments? Do you have guys that can get out on the wing? We saw a little bit of that with Collins Aduro last year. I think you mentioned Weiss can create for himself as well. How important is that to unlock and unbalance defenses?
You hit it. You know, when I was talking about the attackers, you know, Collins is, you know, he is amongst the elite in that. I think of Sammy and Collins as our two most dynamic unbalancers. He can create something from nothing. And no doubt his freshman year, the ups and downs it had, I think those will stabilize. And I don't even know his goals last year, Glass. I don't keep track of our stats very well. But whatever he had, I'm very confident he can minimally double that number. And continue to give us great minutes wide up top. So yes, that's the piece why I mentioned with like a Nessi, a Bogard, and a Weiss. They're more poaching type in the box. They need half chances. That's the types of attackers they are. Even though they can create differently for themselves, they need a half chance. And Collins and Sammy can create those moments really well for other players. And that's what I feel is going to help us get some goals.
Aduro had 5 goals and 2 assists last season.
Okay, I said double that. That would be a good number.
That'd be a great number. That's what I was getting at. Let's go. I'm all for it. Todd Yeagley is our guest. He is the head coach of the Indiana men's soccer. And exhibition game number 2 is this Saturday, 8 o'clock, down in Louisville. Just a quick hop and a skip down Interstate 65. And a week from Friday, the 23rd, you'll be in St. Louis to take on the Billikens. We'll talk more about the result from Louisville and the preview of St. Louis next week. But I want to talk about Patrick McDonald a little bit. We saw his influence just grow and grow and grow throughout. When you don't score goals, sometimes the casual fan misses the contributions, but McDonald then started scoring goals, some of the biggest goals of the season. Where is he on a trajectory to become an elite or more elite player in the Big Ten and even nationally?
Yeah, that's the challenge with Patty. We've set it there. I know he's a motivated kid. I have no reason not to think that he can take new aspects of his game. And you mentioned the finishing. He scores in big games. We got him needing to score in that tight one in the middle of the season where we have a few more chances, and he's part of those chances. We got to get him to be more clinical. But when it comes to a glue guy, someone who can get so many things accomplished and bring different guys into the game and help us with whether it's unbalancing off the dribble, winning second balls, winning head balls for being one of the smaller guys, reading the tempo of the game. We're going to ask a lot from him, but he's ready for that. And, you know, he's, and again, one that I'm really on right now this preseason to continue to know, like, whatever you've done the past, Patty, is there, but we still have another step to go. And he wants that challenge, and I'm excited to see what he can do this year for us in the center midfield.
And that, again, a very important – well, they're all important positions, but linking the back to the front and being late in the box and scoring goals and all the exciting things that midfielders do. It seems you have the pieces of the puzzle. Are you expecting this team, and again, we've been at this 7 days, is this something that you see gelling already, or does it need a little more time in the oven?
We're early in the oven. I do like the recipe. I like how it looks on paper. The cookbook, those always have good looking pictures. I do think this group has a heck of a lot of potential in front of them. And, you know, we had a lot of conversations today and the days prior that, you know, so much of that, you know, is the guy pushing next to you. You know, how much are we willing to put in every day and not just turn it up when we have to turn it up? And, you know, I think I'm always proud of how we can play our best in the most important times, but I want us to see if we can trend in that direction earlier. And that sometimes it just takes time. But I don't want it to be because we haven't kind of
turned up. You don't have to go once your back's against the wall. Let's stay off the wall. Correct. And just play.
Let's stay off the wall. And sometimes you know, to me it was unlucky and kind of posting some weird funky things last year that kind of put us in like, man, we don't have much margin now, guys. The margin's tight. And guess what? They responded. They didn't buckle. They didn't fall apart. They started playing better. And we started making simpler, when I say simpler, you know, the critical moments became critically successful for us. And that's what I want us to find earlier. And that's what you're always trying to do. But I also need to be patient, like any team is, you know, if it doesn't happen day one, we don't hit the panic button. Nor do we in the years past. We always find that groove. And so I know we'll be better last game versus first game. And I've seen us play amazingly well come out of the gate. I want us to continue to move forward, but at the same time not be ready and be at the best position early in these games, because these opportunities, we don't get back.
Tell me the theory about presenting the Big Ten rings as you did. We all saw it on social media. Some of your past players were like, whoa, those rings are a little bit cooler than the ones we had. What was the idea behind that at this time of the season?
Well, there's a lot of upset players, class, because we haven't been giving rings for a while.
I think it was more the 90s guys that were like, whoa, that didn't look like the ones we got back in the day.
Well, it's three times bigger than the ones I have, I can tell you that.
You got a few.
And then for some years, we just didn't give them. And it's so hard to win Big Tens or to win anything. And that's on me. I kind of lost sight and we didn't push it. And when I said, let's make sure we get rings, administration was, of course, yes. But these things are monsters. I don't know how it looks like they could fit on some of these guys' wrists. But it's a great reflection tool. I always say, like, those things, they'll never be taken away from you. It's just a reflection of what the work you put in. And the guys were really excited, and it's a cool thing. And I think it's a motivator for the guys that hadn't won one, or the new players here from another school, that in the new Big Ten in particular, I mean, good Lord, those two additions, if you're winning a Big Ten title, you are in an amazing position for the postseason, because that means you've done really well. So although the Big Ten is a huge honor in itself, it sets you up for that next season. And, you know, that crown jewel out there is not going to be won game one, but all those moments leading up to it, you know, that's still the eyes and the prize. You know, can this group, you know, be a penalty takeaway from another college cup? We were just there last year. is this team have what it takes? But man, I don't even know, you know, the date of our third game or even who we're playing. I just know the first two, honestly, because it's home and away. And
Yale would be the third one.
Yale, thank you. And Yale's good, but I honestly have not gotten past that. And that it goes, oh, that's coach speak. I'm like, no, I haven't.
Well, not when they only give not when they start you on August 7th, you don't have any time. The time is spent doing other things. So I thought this was interesting to fit into this constricted period, so to speak. And the other great thing fans will notice, well, if they're out tonight for the women's game, 8 o'clock against Tennessee, you have a new toy, and that would be in the east end zone, a new video board. How about that?
Beautiful. Yeah, hopefully we see a lot of people tonight. This is a fun game with the women starting with Tennessee. They're a good program, and Irwin's got our girls going. So, yeah, I'm excited to see some tonight. But, yes, let's enjoy some entertainment that, you know, many of fans have been wanting. It looks great.
Are we doing replays? Are we doing a little video?
Well, there's some new nuances that they're sorting out. I don't want to disappoint people. There's going to be some features that aren't quite ready to get this year or
gotcha.
Maybe early in the year, which could be replays and some live video. But I do know this, it's going to be got some cool intro. We have some really cool graphics. There'll be videos that will be played. Glass, you are our MC extraordinaire, and you saw some of those 50th videos.
Absolutely.
Oh, guess what? One or two of those might find their way to kind of a pre-game walkout element, and that will get the hair stand on the arms.
It did right now, and I and I haven't seen it in a year. That's pretty good.
So
that's exciting.
Yeah. So those types of things for our fans, and then halftime there'll be new things up there. There'll be interactive videos with players and coaches. I'm sure a lot of them might be making fun of me. I don't know. I'll be the brunt of that.
Take it. You can handle it. You got broad shoulders. Yeah. You can. How about VAR? VAR up there for all the kids there?
VAR will not be up there, but that's gonna be a cool one later. But there are more things, glasses. You say that for our hardcore fans, there are more reviewable. It won't be in the video board though. There are more reviewable moments this year.
What have we added off the top of your head? If you have that.
Yeah, we've added offsides related to a goal. You can review to pull or keep and not pull back. So kind of the bang-bang goals. You know, maybe the AR leaves the flag down on a breakaway. Maybe it's questionable offside. Let the play finish, and you go back and review it if it's a goal. Once the whistle's blown, you can't go back and review. So it has to be somewhat in the flow of that moment.
Gotcha.
There's less opportunities to substitute. There's only six moments outside of intermissions. That's a big change. Which doesn't really affect us, but maybe some other teams. It just has to be, have to be a little more strategic at times. And there's no re-entry second half. That's going to be challenging for all of us because, you know, a lot of times we might start a player in the second half that we want to finish with. We take him out for 5 minutes. He gets a quick break. Maybe tactically it's a different look. And then we put him back in. No more putting him back in.
Yeah.
So we have to either.
They're making you earn it, aren't they? They're making you earn it.
Make us work out. But, you know, I think that in essence, there are a lot of good changes. I'm really disappointed that the overtime was still not out of back. I'm a big proponent of overtime in the regular season. Golden goal, that is. That still stays as 90 and it's tied. So fans don't be waiting for overtime. However, the overtime is still in the tournament play, which was obviously been there.
Yeah,
so.
We need a winner. We need a winner. But during the regular season, yeah. You don't want, well, the other side of that coin, I guess, would be if you played 12 overtime games, you'd essentially play another game, wouldn't you?
Correct. There's definitely a load impact. I mean, we all know that we have a compressed schedule and, you know, that's another day, another talk. That year-long model has got an interesting twist potentially coming, class. So I'd love to chat with you later.
Good.
But for this season, I understand everyone's element there, but I do think a lot of those games are won or lost in the first 10 minutes. So a lot of times you're not playing that 20 minutes.
Yeah.
But there's just too many ties in our sport. So I'm always like, let's get a winner when we can.
But I don't disagree, and the other problem with that is they limited your substitution, so bringing that back would have not, it would have been a whole thing.
Yeah, And RPI is already an interesting equation that I don't think can really put into effect dominating a tie. There's no metric that you can say, well, man, that team was so much better and hit five posts and outshot them 32-4, but yet the tie is a tie.
You got to get Bart Torvik on that. You got to get one of these analysts, one of the metrics guys.
That's why I'm also, I feel like there's too many, the RPI is already a very difficult number. And I feel like if you can, again, let teams play more, the better team over time will win more. Therefore, we get the better teams in the tournament. So
I agree with that.
But who's listening to me?
They should be. All of our listeners are listening to you, and they're excited for, well, Grand Park and then Louisville, then St. Louis. Don't worry, kids. 2 weeks from today, Notre Dame will open the home portion of the 2024 season. First game of the Adidas IU Credit Union Classic Thursday, and then Sunday, September 1st, Yale is in town, 8 p.m. on Sunday night. Nobody's got to work on Monday. We'll have a little fun with that weekend as well. And, well, we'll have fun with you next week, buddy. Have a great trip down to Louisville, and we'll talk to you before you head to St. Louis.
Thanks, class. Thanks for having me.
Oh, you're the best. Todd Yeagley, IU men's soccer coach. We get great time.